That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast brought to you by our favourite brewery in Berkshire. It's, of course, Phantom Brewery. We are looking ahead today towards tomorrow's match against Watford. Watford at the moment, I think, sit seventh in the table at the moment. And to discuss it, we have actually got the Watford podcast, The Voices of the Vic. We've got Mike on from them. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm very well, yeah. Thank you for having me on. I'm looking forward to chatting about this.
Brilliant stuff. Obviously, looking ahead towards tomorrow's game, we're going to dip back in time a little bit with Watford, because there's never a dull minute with Watford FC, seemingly, for about the last 10 years. The start of the season, it was almost new season, new start, new manager. Rob Edwards was in charge. Good young English manager. Mike, just give us a bit of an overview of what's happened this season with Watford.
Well, we thought we were getting a change in direction, and we thought things were, you know, going to start changing a bit with the hierarchy and how it's run with the team and all that. As you say, promising young British manager. We were told, right, you know, we're going to stop this hire and fire approach. We're going to give a young British manager a squad to work with that can compete at this level and have a bit of a rebuild, really. You know, last season was disastrous for us. We broke all sorts of bad records that you don't want to be breaking in the Premier League. You know, most consecutive home defeats. I think we beat Derby's record. I say we beat it, we broke it. But so, yeah, you know, we really wanted to sort of change direction, and we thought, brill, you know, we've brought in a young British manager, Rob Edwards, just won the League Two title with Forest Green Rovers. You know, they play attractive football. We were told the exact words in the statement from the hierarchy, from Scott Duxbury, the CEO, were, we will back him come hell or high water. So, you know, they were prepared to back him. We thought, well, hang on a minute, the first sort of role that he has, is he going to be sacked? And they were like, you know, they give us some reassurances that things were going to change around Vicarage Road. You know, as we expected, the season started. We didn't perhaps bring in the players that we would have wanted to, or not necessarily the players, but the positions of the players that we brought in weren't perhaps what we were expecting. Rob Edwards, sort of, you know, great first win against Sheffield United. We sort of start all right. We beat Sheffield and Burnley sort of early doors. So that was good to tick those wins off. But, you know, amongst that were really lacklustre performances against Rotherham, Birmingham City. The performances weren't quite there. And we thought, OK, that's fine. It's Rob just getting his feet under the table. He's jumped up two divisions, let's not forget. So, you know, it's going to take time. And that dreaded first international break when we usually pull the trigger comes around, and there's murmurs that Rob might be sacked. We're thinking, no, that's not going to be the case. You know, we we said that we're going to back him come oil or water. And the news comes out that Rob Edwards gets sacked at the first sort of opportunity, if you like. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, the performances weren't anywhere near where we were perhaps expecting. Whether that's down to Rob's tactical approach or his tactical capacity, or whether it's just the fact that, like I said, you know, he's jumped up two divisions, so it might take him a little bit of time to get used to. But he's got a better sort of pool of players around him at Watford. So should that, the way that he worked at Forest Green, should that sort of implement into how Watford wanted to play? And then you could tie that into the players that we brought in. Were they right to fit Rob's system that he played at Forest Green? It's a domino effect. But yeah, we get rid of him, and we sort of back at square one. You know, a lot of people against the Pozzos at the moment who own the club. A lot of people saying Pozzo out, you know, not happy with the way that things are being run. And, you know, we get in someone who you sort of expect as a Watford manager. In fact, quite a few of my mates, when we brought Bilic in, said that they were very surprised that he hadn't already been at Watford before. So, yeah, it's like you said, it's never a dull day at Watford. But, yeah, listen, like I said, the performances under him weren't anywhere near what we perhaps were expecting. And they were quite dull. I think we saw maybe half a good performance at home to Sunderland, and we even drew that. So, but, you know, we should have expected that. You need to give someone like that time. It's not going to work. You know, it's not going to change overnight. So really disappointing with the owners from that perspective. But Savan Bilic, if you'd offered him us at the start of the season instead of Rob Edwards, then I'm sure many fans would have been like, yeah, great manager at this league. So, yeah, never a dull day.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, because I remember actually when Bilic was announced, and I actually had a similar thought to actually what you said about, it's an interesting one, because it's one that I would have thought would have been at Watford already, just got the kind of manager that he is. And kind of historically, he's always been very up and down in his time at West Brom, and that it was very high, very low. You know, I think they ended up going up under him, I think, from memory, yeah, and then sacking him very soon after in the Premier League. I mean, since he's come in, I think it was one win in his first four, but then since it's been four wins in his last six. Those, the other two games in that run of six, though, have been quite bad losses, mind against Millwall and Coventry. The biggest thing as a fan you're looking for when you get a new manager, and I guess it was probably the frustrating thing about Rob Edwards, is seeing a style coming through. Have you started to see that in the last six games?
Since Bilic coming, I think the very frustrating thing was Rob was very clear that, well, certainly the way that we tried to play was he wanted to dominate games. And I've not got a problem with that. You know, we're fortunate that we're one of the teams that are sort of tipped to go straight back up, and we've kept a lot of talented players. So we are perhaps in a position where we can try and dominate games because of the players that we've got. But it was quite a lot like watching England, actually, I thought, in the sense of, we'd get the ball, we'd get so far, we'd think, maybe I'll try and get it over to the other side, or maybe we'll pass it around a bit more and then try and walk it into the net, so to speak. And we'd find ourselves getting so far, and maybe the avenue that the player wanted to take wasn't there. So we'd end up going back to Daniel Backman in goal, and we're thinking, we were literally on the edge of the box, and now the next phase of play, it's back at the goalkeeper's feet, he's launching it long, and the ball's back at square one again. So it was very frustrating, very slow. Like I say, you could see that possession-based football was what Rob wanted. And again, you know, I don't want to completely slate Rob. I think Rob was dealt a duff hand with the recruitment, or the lack of recruitment. You know, the players that we brought in didn't suit the style that he wanted to play. You know, a wing-back, for example, we were screaming out for one, because, you know, we don't have someone that can play that role. We brought in Mario Gaspar. A lot of people were like, oh, Watford have brought in the captain of Villarreal and he was there for 10 years. That's all well and good, but he's not someone that can play right wing back. You know, we were playing Hassan Kamara out on the right, and he's not a right back. He's not a right wing back. He's much more stable on the left-hand side, where it's his preferred. So, and, you know, it doesn't take a genius to look at Rob Edwards' side played wing-backs. In fact, Kane Wilson, who was at Forest Green with Rob, He was very, very efficient under Edwards at Forest Green. He went on a free to Bristol City, and they said, I get that. I think it sort of boiled down to location. Obviously, Bristol much closer to Forest Green than Watford. But still, you know, why we weren't saying to him, look, you've linked up with Rob before. Come and play with us. We know he's someone that Rob trusts. So I think a lot of it will be down to the recruitment that we didn't perhaps play how Rob wanted, but it was very boring. So when Bilic come in, I think certainly for me, the main thing was getting the ball forward, being more, not direct in terms of long balls every sort of 5 minutes, but being direct in terms of getting to where we want. If we've got the ball on the halfway line, don't go back, go forwards, hit the flanks, try and work the balls in the channels, find the pockets of space. That's what's been evident for me. So I think it's been much more positive attacking-wise, but there are still a lot of flaws with how we are at the moment. And the inconsistency is the frustrating thing at the moment for us Watford fans.
I think inconsistency is quite possibly the most frustrating thing as any football fan. The amount of times I think Reading fans have looked at teams in the past and just think, get some consistency for Christ's sake. It's just like, yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than that. But something seemingly formation change since Bilic has come in, yes, gone to almost a standard 4-2-3-1 seemingly since Bilic has come in. Keenan Davis as well, a key guy that you got obviously in the summer, came back into the fray a little bit as well, because he was kind of pushed out, or Pedro kind of kept him out at the start of the season. How's that? Is that something that has been implemented straight away from Bilic?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the reason behind Davis's absence is when we brought him in on loan, he hadn't had a pre-season, I don't think, so match fitness wasn't anywhere near what we expected. We saw him come on for, I think it must have been no longer than 5 minutes against Birmingham away. That was a game we were sort of expecting him to play. You know, on loan from Aston Villa, he'd be well up for that game. But like I say, come on for the last sort of no longer than 5 minutes. So, and it's quite clear to see as well. Davis, I think, is been superb in some games. But it's quite clear to see that match fitness is the reason that's been keeping him out, because he does look absolutely knackered some of the games, and he's, you know, hardly played as much. But I think having someone like Zhao behind him, you know, having Zhao behind anyone really complements it so well, because he's an incredible footballer. But Davis has been likened, you know, some of his performances to Troy Deeney when we had him in the Championship. And, you know, we just needed someone like that in the squad. You know, it's all good having these flair players and, well, João Pedro and, you know, players that are really quick-footed and skillful. But sometimes you need that sort of bruiser in the team, don't you, just to sort of rough up a few defences. And that's what Davies does. The ball just sticks to him. I mean, Coventry seemed to keep him quiet at the weekend, and, you know, their game plan was very well implemented from them, so fair play. But other than that, I think Davies has been superb. And, you know, once he is match fit, you know, he's going to be a superb footballer. And you sort of look at him, at how he was at Forest. He chipped in with a few goals, but he wasn't exactly prolific. He was more about creating opportunities for other people. But I think he will do that at Watford. But to have players around him like he does, he will also chip in with a few more goals than he did in his previous season. So, yeah, it's straight away we saw that under Slaven Bilic, the way that he implemented that formation. It was a lot simpler, a lot more back to basics, and we could be more threatening that way.
Yeah, you talk about Keenan Davis not being too prolific. Last time he actually faced Reading was against Forest, and we lost 4-0 to Forest that day. Keenan Davis scoring within the first 20 seconds of that game as well. So Reading fans, I think, are quite... I certainly remember that game, because unfortunately I was there. Yeah, just how much he bullied the defence on that occasion. Fingers crossed for Reading's sake, he probably doesn't do the same tomorrow. I'm sure you'll think the opposite. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of how that works tomorrow. And kind of on the players front, we've touched on a few players. The summer was obviously key for Watford, probably for keeping a few players, because there was rumours going around left, right and centre about Pedro going, Ismail Assar going, and you were able to keep all of them. In a game like tomorrow. It could, like, games where, you know, quality will probably shine through against an opposition. I mean, who would probably be your ones to watch for tomorrow?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, I mean, you say that, but we've had, you know, those players you've just mentioned in many games this season. Some games, the quality has shone through, and other games, you sort of forget they're there. You know, Ismail Assar went missing against Millwall. They absolutely battered us. Those sort of games where you sort of come up against a team who are quite rough and ready, and they're just direct and a real horrible team to face, they sort of sometimes can go missing, but so do the whole team, so I don't want to single them out. But I think the man for us really would be a toss-up between João Pedro, not to be too obvious, and Keenan Davis. I mean, João Pedro, some of the games I've seen him this season, I mean, we were sort of wowed by him in that lockdown season when we were in the Championship, and you know, he really changed his style, and he did a lot of work pre-season to suit the physicality of the Championship. So to see him this time round, it's like he's on another level. Like, I think it was the Sheffield United or Middlesbrough game that we played, and he did everything but score. The ball just, like, it was always, no one could get it off him. He was dribbling around players like they weren't there. He was nutmegging people left, right and centre. He's obviously on a different planet when he's on his day. So him and Keenan Davis, I mean, Keenan Davis against Luton, I mean, that was an emphatic win for us and such a great day. But honestly, the ball stuck to him. Like, anything that come up towards him, he would win. He would lay off someone. He'd go on a run himself. He'd test the keeper. He'd put someone through out wide. You know, we've got fantastic wide options. I mean, Hassan Kamara suspended for tomorrow, as is... there's someone else off the top of my head, but I think it's Kayembe. I'm not too sure. But we've got such fantastic options out wide that Davis, you know, to be able to hold it up and then play the ball out wide as well, we've got that option. So, yeah, definitely between Keenan Davis and João Pedro, that they can be frightening on their day.
I think the other one that's suspended for tomorrow is
Sierra, that's the one.
That's, yeah. I was, yeah, trying to pronounce the name. I'm like, I'm going to get this majestically wrong. I didn't bother then. So, yeah, it could be an interesting one. With those two players, are they going to be big misses for you? Because certainly with Kamara so far, he's almost had a key part in that Watford team for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he was our player of the season last season. I mean, I still find it wrong that, you know, teams that are relegated get to vote for a player of the season. It doesn't quite feel right.
Reading fans are well used to that.
he's been brilliant. And like I say, since he's been able to play on the left-hand side, it's like watching a different player. Rob had to use him on the right at times. But this is what I don't get. You know, Rob was dealt with a duff hand, like I said, and he had to play him on the right sometimes. But Slaven Bilic's first game, he come in, and he just went to a flat back four, and Mario Gaspar, I think, went right back, or Craig Cathcart. I mean, at the moment, we've got Dan Gosling filling it at right back, and he's been superb there, you know, considering he's not played right back till the very first knock-ins of his career back in 2006, I think it was, for Plymouth. So, considering that's the case, but Kamara will be a miss attacking-wise. I think in sort of... There are flaws to his game where he can be gotten at easy and he can be a bit rash with his decisions. Serralta, you know, he was part of that fantastic defence that we had a couple of seasons ago in the Championship. Him and Trooster Kong just had a different understanding with each other. I think, you know, a lot of people think, you know, all these nationalities in the side, how do they communicate? But Trooster Kong and Serralta, one's Nigerian, one's Chilean, but they speak to each other in Italian. So, you know, the communication is something that is key at the back, and it's worked. There have been reports today that Craig Cathcart and Samuel Kalou are back. If Cathcart is back, then 100% he should just be going in for Serralta. Yes, Serralta is an absolute mountain of a centre-back, but Craig Cathcart, veteran of the game, knows the Championship like the back of his hand. He's been brilliant for us in the 10 or so years that he's been with us. So I would have no qualms with him going straight back in, straight swap. What we don't want is Christian Cavaselli to come in, because he's a bit of a liability. I think me saying a bit, he's being quite generous to him, to be honest. I'll probably get a few comments of any Watford fans that watch his back. But yeah, so I would bring Craig Cathcart straight in for Serralta.
That's fair enough. Well, Reading, you know who to exploit. Paul Ince, if you're listening, I know you will be, because you always do listen to EPR. Cabaselli, if he plays, exploit him. kind of just looking very quickly at Reading coming into this game. Reading come into this not on the best of form. We've spoken about it quite a few times on the EPR podcast. It's now 1 win in 8 games.
By Watford then, we'll give you.
Yeah. You will, it's always the way. Whenever we're playing a team on bad form, it's like, oh, never want to play them. It's always the way when you're a football fan, you kind of dip into that pessimistic kind of, I'm terrible for it, I know that. But yeah, Reading come into it off the back of one win in 8. Obviously lost 2-1 at home to Preston in the week as well. I don't believe we actually have any suspensions either, which should be at least nice for us not to have any suspensions anyway, because we've had a few of late with Yeardham and Saar, and that being not Saar, sorry, Loom being out for us. But Watford haven't been the best at home this year. Reading haven't been pretty dreadful away from home this year. If you've got to pin your hat on kind of a score prediction for this game, Mike, what are you going with? I know certainly at the weekend we did our predictions on the podcast. All of us went for Reading losses. Well, not to lump any pressure on.
Well, I disagree with you a little bit. I think we feel much more. I know we just lost at home, but we feel much more confident when we're at home. I mean, we've picked up 16 points from 9 home games, so you know, not a great return, but not a bad return. Certainly in the top 10 of the home records in the division. So considering we're at home, I do feel a lot more confident. And like I said to you before we started recording, the inconsistency is what sort of bugs us. You know, we had 3 wins on the bounce, beat Luton at home, picked up 2 massive away wins against Wigan and Cardiff. Yeah, they might be struggling, but we're terrible away. We have been for a number of years now. No one can seem to put their finger on as to why. So to pick up 3 wins on the bounce was massive for us. It got us right back up there. I think we're maybe 2 or 1 point outside the playoff now. I think with Preston winning on Friday, that sort of bumped us back down to 7th. But
apologies for that on behalf of all Reading fans.
It's going to be a close-knit game. I don't think it's going to be. It's not going to be a great spectacle to watch. I'm going to go with 2-1 to Watford. Like I say, it's not going to be a great game. I think the people who chose that one to be the main game on Sky might be getting handed their P45s after the game. But I'm going to go 2-1 Watford. I just think that hopefully the Coventry game was just a blip. I mean, like I said to you, their game plan was superbly executed. They frustrated us. That Guy Kores, I can never pronounce his name, but the Guy Swedish player up top for them was unbelievable. And since they scored the goal, their goalkeeper just time wasted. And yeah, it was frustrating for us, but it's going to happen, isn't it? So fair play to them. But you know, we were still attacking. We were still on the front foot, and it was just one of them games where it just wouldn't go in for us. So I think, you know, we hopefully that was just a bleep and we can return to winning ways at home. And yeah, I'm going to go 2-1, sneaky 2-1.
That is now four predictions for a Watford win on the EPR podcast. I'm a little bit more optimistic than I was at the weekend. I did actually predict, I think I predicted I either went for a 2-1 or a 2-0 to Watford. I'm going to change it to a 1-1 just so we can at least have one person having a Reading draw in this. Is that the best we can expect from it? Maybe, I don't know. But it's interesting. One thing you said, obviously, that Coventry did well and that Watford struggle against is direct football and kind of teams that get in your face. That's one thing that Reading has done all season. I'll be the first person to stick my hand up and say that Reading are probably the worst team for time wasting in the Premier League. Christ, I wish we were the Premier League. In the Championship, if we go ahead, I mean, I think the Swansea, it wasn't Swansea, it was Burnley away. There was 7 minutes of added time, and that was all from about us being ahead for about 10 minutes. Reading will time waste if we get ahead. It's just the way it is. We don't play pretty football. It's very long ball. It's very hustle and bustle. And if Andy Carroll starts, you probably know what you're going to get with Andy Carroll up front anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how that matches up against Watford. Hopefully Reading can come out with some points, because otherwise it's lumping a lot of pressure on our final game against Hull at the weekend. But Mike, thank you very much for joining me today and obviously giving all the insight into Watford. I hope you've enjoyed it. Just give us a little piece on your podcast, what you guys do, who you are.
Yeah, no, firstly, thanks for having me on. Like I said, hopefully it's not as bad as I've just sort of sold it to be, the game, but I'll take any sort of win at the moment, to be honest.
Sky keep picking Reading anyway for TV games, and it's baffling because we play the worst football in the Championship. No, it doesn't make sense.
We only get picked because we've been relegated from the Premier League. That's the only reason they pick us. So the last couple of Sky games have been like completely mismatched. But so we Voices of the Vic, we do pretty much what you're doing now. We'll do a live show. We try and do it after every game. It's tough, you know, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, whatever it may be. We quite lucky that we're in with the club as well, so we've done a current player interview, and we're hoping that will continue to be the case going forward this season. Ex-player interviews in international breaks, match reaction. We're on all social media, like you guys, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, TikTok, you name it. We're on every social media and YouTube as well, at Voices of the Vic. So, yeah, if there's any Watford fans on the off watching this and you don't follow us, then go and give us a follow.
Absolutely. Mike, again, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for listening as well. Remember, if you have enjoyed the podcast, be sure to give us a rating, not just a rating, a 5-star rating. We don't accept anything else apart from 5-star ratings, of course. Be sure to give us a rating. Follow us on all of our channels to obviously keep updated with any podcasts that do go out. We will, of course, be back probably Wednesday evening, doing obviously a review of the Watford game. Hopefully we're reviewing some sort of points. We will catch up with you, all of you guys, then. Thanks very much for listening.